Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Elder Vajura.
Good afternoon, my brother. Good afternoon to the listeners. Hope you're doing well.
Doing well, thank you. Are you doing well?
No, I'm doing well. Counting down the hours now,
yeah.
Sabbath.
Counting down literally the hours to Sabbath. Oh, man, I'm excited about this. Now, let's go to our last discussion for this week. Talking about, you know, the unity in the body of Christ. And beliefs, by the way, are only as strong as they are practical. And our lesson today is all about how this doctrine functions on the ground. And, you know, our church is a global movement, the SDA Church, with millions of members across the globe, which, you know, presents unique challenges in coordinating our shared mission. True, unity isn't just about what we believe. It's also about how we used our varied, you know, spiritual gifts, how we support local leadership, and how we participate in the Great Commission together. We want to look at the habits, ministries, and attitudes for that foster a healthy, thriving, and unified church body. Now, my elder, how do individual spiritual gifts and ministries contribute to the overall health and unity of a local congregation?
Thank you, my brother. One of the beautiful things about God's church is that He never asks us to do all the same thing. He never asks us all to be pastors, or all to be deacons or elders. Instead, He has appointed the Holy Spirit, to give each believer, the Bible says, spiritual gifts, and those spiritual gifts are there to strengthen the church and to advance God's mission. Because Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians 12, he says that just as the body has many parts, as we've been discussing these past 2 days, with different functions, so it is with the church. So we've find that some people in the church are gifted to preach. Some people can teach. Some people can encourage. Some people can lead. Some people visit the sick. Some people can sing or pray, and et cetera, et cetera. But the most important thing is that every single gift matters in the church. There's no gift that is less than significant than the other, because every member in the church matters as well. So sometimes we usually tend to have a habit of celebrating those that stand behind the pulpit. But God also sees the faithful deacons and deaconesses. He sees the faithful Sabbath school superintendent. He sees the faithful pathfinder or the youth leader or the person that's preparing the meals for families that I need, or that faithful member that prays for everyone every day. So a healthy church is not one where a few people do everything. A healthy church is a church where every believer discovers their God-given gifts and uses that gift for the glorification of Christ. And when every member then is involved in the church using their gifts, that's where you see the church begins to grow stronger, it grows healthier, and ultimately becomes more united.
Yeah. And I think that those are the drivers of unity, as you explained them. Now, what does it look like to practically bear one another's burdens and sorrows within the fellowship of the church?
I think you're, if I'm correct, you are quoting, I think it's Galatians 6, verse 2, because it tells us, it says, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Now, those words, when I think about them, they remind us that Christianity is not something that we live alone as individuals, but God has placed us people from different backgrounds, different cultures, different personalities. He's placed us in a church family so that we can support one another through the seasons that we face in life. Bearing one another's burdens It doesn't mean simply saying, I'll pray for you, my brother, when you are in need.
Yeah.
Prayer is very important. It's important, but it rather means that I'm going to be present. I'm going to be there. It means that I'm going to visit you when you're in hospital. It means I'm going to comfort the family that has lost a loved one. It means I'm going to encourage someone that's discouraged. It means I'm going to help a family that's facing financial hardships. You know, James says, what does it benefit for you to say to a brother or sister, you know, I'm going to pray for you, be well, be fed, but you don't actually do anything to assist the physical needs of the person? It means simply sometimes just listening when someone needs a friend, because sometimes people don't need answers. They just need someone to walk beside them through their journey. So when the church shares both in the joys and the sorrows together as brothers and sisters, we reflect the compassion of Christ. And that's what family does. And that's what a church should also do. We as a church family should not walk alone, but we should walk together throughout the seasons of life.
Yeah, we should walk together throughout the seasons of this life that we live here. Now, how does a diverse church staying united serve as a powerful witness to a deeply, very deeply divided world?
You know, if there's one thing our world desperately needs today, I think it's hope. Because everywhere where we look, we see people, they are divided. People are divided by race. They're divided by politics, culture, economics. People are divided by religion. Now imagine what it would say when people from different backgrounds, different generations, different cultures, if all those people come together and worship together genuinely, with love and respect. And that's something that doesn't happen naturally, by the way. It only happens when Jesus changes your heart. What kind of impact do you think a church like that would have, or a movement like that would have? Mm. Because our unity becomes more evident, and our unity actually is a reflection that the gospel really works. Because Jesus says, he says that, by this, they will know that you are my disciples if you love one another.
Yeah.
The greatest evidence for Christianity is not simply what we say and what we quote and the doctrine that we preach, but it's what people see with their eyes. I rather see a sermon than hear a thousand sermons. You know, so when the church lives in that unity that we've been talking about, it becomes a living sermon, and it tells the world that reconciliation is something that is possible because Christ is alive and he is transforming lives today, and we are living witnesses of it.
Now, before we let you go, my elder, we now want to look into the future. How does a united, mission-focused church prepare its members for the promised second coming of the Messiah?
As a Seventh-day Adventist church, I think everything that we do as Adventists is centered on that blessed hope, that soon return of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So preparing for his return, it involves more than just understanding prophecies of Daniel and Revelation, but it involves allowing the Holy Spirit to prepare our hearts through sanctification. Because Jesus is coming back for people that reflect his character. That's something that's very important. He's coming back for people who love one another, who remain faithful to his word, and who are actively sharing the everlasting gospel with the world. So a united church would encourage one another. A united church would strengthen one another and keep one another's focus on the mission that Christ has given us instead of race and cultural things that divide the church. We keep our eyes on Christ, and when we serve together, we worship together, we share that hope of Christ together. And by doing that, we are not only preparing others for the coming of Christ, but we are actually preparing ourselves. Because remember yesterday I said that Revelation, it reminds us that God's last day people are those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. And that kind of united church is the one that Christ is preparing for eternity. One that is united, all people, tongues, nations, tribes, united through Jesus Christ.
Pastor, my elder, so thank you so much. I don't know what is happening there with the network. Thank you so much for joining us. Now, we're going to be going into the Sabbath. Hmm. And, of course, people from all different walks of life are going to be going there. What should be in the mind of the listener as we foster unity?
Maybe my last words that I could say is that, you know, we've learned a lot these past 3 days that unity begins with Jesus. We've learned that unity is, it's demonstrated in the way that we love and we accept one another. Mm-hmm. And today we've seen that unity finds its greatest purpose in God's mission. So the church was never meant to be a collection of individuals that are attending the same building, but the church is meant to be a family empowered by the Holy Spirit. And as Adventists, we believe that we are living in the closing moments before of Earth's history, before Jesus comes in. And the world needs to see a church that not only preaches the truth, but also lives the love of Christ. So if each and every one of us makes that our prayer daily, to be committed to working on unity in our home, in our churches, my brother, Jesus will be coming soon. You know, let us keep our eyes on Jesus. Let's remain faithful to his word, and let's love one another sincerely, and continue to share this hope of his second coming. You know, so in closing, I just want to say, you know, Ephesians 4 verse 3, it says, make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bonds of peace.
Yeah.
So may his grace and his love and that hope of his glorious appearing on that day keep us united together.
Mm. Beautiful stuff, man. What a beautiful conversation. Thank you so much, my elder. I wish you a fantastic Sabbath ahead.
Thank you so much, my brother. Thank you to our listeners. And may God bless you abundantly. And until that day when Jesus comes again.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Until that day comes again. Wishing you the same. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio. From broadcast to baptism. Powered by SID Media.